defend us, we'll keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
A very good morning as you begin your footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sports FM, Breakfast with the Blues. This footy show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your host today are myself, Craig Bradford, joined by Jesse Goldsworth and Yuri Bilcic. So, before I go any further, though, on a very sad note, during the week, Australia lost a entertainment icon, one-eyed Carlton supporter, and I'm speaking of Dame Olivia Newton-John. So, on behalf of
the Queen.
Look, on behalf of the WA Blues and WA Blues supporters over here to Olivia's family, we pass on our deepest condolences. Sadly, she fought a great battle. She'll be sadly missed, and I just hope tonight that the Blues go out and put in a good performance and then salute Olivia. So, okay, onwards and upwards from here. On the show this morning, we look at Blues and AFL news and look back at the game against the Lions and preview the upcoming game against the Demons. Special guest interview is young up-and-coming AFLW star Annie Lee. We cross live to the hyphen, David Rees-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front. Provide information on WA Blues events and everything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour. But Jesse, first, we couldn't do this show without our loyal sponsors.
No, we couldn't at all. And we thank WA Blues major sponsors, Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, master pitcher framers, Cannington, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers and ICU Finance Group, which is Alton from Carlton, over in Melbourne at the moment with Chris and Mel.
I'd imagine they're misbehaving over there. Yes. Lucky them. Okay, Jesse, we'll cross to you now for the some Blues news and some updates.
Yes, well, it's been a very big week in Blues news this week. Obviously, the major headline is Patrick Cripps' suspension, then the tribunal, then the appeal, and obviously the result we got in the end is one that is good for football. And he obviously got the suspension overturned. Yuri, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think with the Cripps decision, it was basically, there was one camera angle which sort of spotted out amongst all others that was going to, you know, favour, like, go his way, should I say, in terms of, you know, him getting off. Because it was never as though his intent was to hurt Archie. His intent was to go for the ball. Absolutely. It was just at the time, that split second when Archie got in the way, that Cripps really had no choice. He still went for the ball. Just the unfortunate part was Archie got concussed and couldn't play any further part in the game. But it's a fair contest. And we saw before, or afterwards, Michael Voss, when he was interviewed about, you know, his reaction to Cripps' bump, he said, well, it was a fair bump. There's only that millimetre of a second that you have to make a decision. And we're not talking about, you know, Michael Voss bumping Alan Richardson in 1996. Not to that extent, no. But it was fair.
But and obviously you've seen a lot of football, Craig, and I guess that didn't sit well with you.
No, I said at the time that if they let Rioli off, that he had to get off. Having played a lot of footy, unfortunately, in that situation, I just don't know what else you're supposed to do. You can see his eyes were clearly on the footy. That last split second, you know, before contact.
It's milliseconds you're talking about.
And he had to brace himself. If he had have hit him full on and then went to the ground with him, Cripps would have killed him.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You got a 95 kilo, 6'4" guy, pure muscle, falling on a little shrimp.
Yeah. Like, and there's been plenty of talk about, like, especially the AFL, I think they've opened themselves up to, with the way they ruled it originally, they've opened themselves up to a catastrophic injury occurring down the track. They were basically saying that Cripps should have tackled him in mid-air. And David King kind of alluded to that as well, that he should have done things differently. And I think that's ridiculous. We're going to have one of those McKinnon sort of situations from the NRL where someone's going to get dump tackled because they're not going to bump. And they're going to at the end of the day, you're dictating where they're going to fall if you tackle them mid-air. And someone's going to end up with a broken neck,
it's
unfortunately.
Sort of a bit, sorry to intervene. It's a bit utterly not ridiculous in a way, but you can't tackle someone mid-air, right? It just makes no sense where so much of, you know, the velocity, force, etc., with the collisions. How can you possibly do that when you're going up for a marking contest and decide, well, I'm just going to tackle him mid-air, I won't bump instead?
Yeah.
Just, It doesn't make sense on along those lines. So.
No, it's milliseconds, and then you've got like the tribunal that takes 5 hours to make a decision. It's like, come on. Moving on with Blues news, though, because we've got a little bit. Kenny Hunter started a foundation for past players. There's a great article on it if people want to go out there and find it. It's really good, definitely worth a read. So it's really good to see how he's set up that foundation. Kenny obviously is a great guest on our show. We love him. So, and obviously Sam Doherty, congratulations to him and his partner.
Yes.
With the announcement of their first child on the way. So,
a little blue
on the way.
Yep.
So,
what a
little
season he's had as well, Doherty too. What a bounce back year, especially that goal against Richmond, right?
Oh, it was awesome. I was there.
That was unbelievable.
It was
the celebrations for everything he's been through.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. And obviously Mike Fitzpatrick was back down at the club after his induction to the Hall of Fame earlier on this year. So good to see him back down at the club. We also closing in on new deals for Jordan Boyd, Matty Cottrell and Matthew Owies. So it'd be nice to secure them boys before or towards the end of this year.
Yep.
The Blues have officially been informed that Liam Jones will be classified as an unrestricted free agent, meaning we'll get compensation through the draft, which is really good for us. I think we'll use that late pick, third round pick, which it will probably be to get Lachie Scholl from Adelaide. And then today we've got an AFL-AFLW doubleheader at the MCG. So people that are wanting to watch a bit of footy and watch the girls as well, make sure to watch the doubleheader.
Can't believe the AFLW season isn't that far away. August 25th, it starts against Collingwood. I think it's good how they changed it right from the summer. It's just way too hot. And Mel and I spoke about this a couple of months ago. Playing in 30, 35 degree temperatures, it's a health risk for players, right? There was a game in Fremantle here. I think it was a couple of years ago with
Fremantle. It was like 40 degrees or something.
Yeah, it was.
Wasn't
and they had to postpone the game by an hour or so.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I think they need to sort that out and get it all on the same page. Obviously, jumping across to AFL news now as well. Yes. You've got plenty on that.
Yeah, absolutely. There has been plenty, Jesse. I think the biggest one out of the lot has been, you know, the emotional return for Ben Cunnington this afternoon for North Melbourne against Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval. We know what he's been through, you know, two bouts of testicular cancer. And he's such a real heart and soul leader of the club. He's done so much for North Melbourne, a Sid Barker medalist too. And it's just more his leadership and also his grunt work in the contest. During, you know, North Melbourne's prime years from about 2012, I'd say, halfway through that season to about 2017, he was the real, you know, but he was one of many midfielders that just, you know, gave it his all. He wouldn't back away from the contest. And it's no wonder why all those years ago to 2009, why North Melbourne selected him fifth overall. He just epitomises the Shinbone spirit. And it's great because
it's great for football that he's back. He's a warrior. I think he's much loved in the AFL community by everyone and every club, I think.
Yeah, we'll see.
Doc got on. Yeah, he's saying how inspirational he is.
It just goes to show what a sort of guy Sam Doherty is.
Yeah,
definitely. He's been through so much, but yet he's still points out how good Ben Cunnington is.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry.
No, he's really, really good to see, I think.
Yep.
And also some other, retirement news as well. Ben McAvoy for Hawthorn has announced he'll retire at seasons. And Sydney's Josh Kennedy.
Yeah, so both the Kennedys are gone. And who else? Matt DeBoer retired as well.
Yeah, he's gone as well.
Devin Smith of Best and Fairest at Essendon. Is he 28?
Yeah.
He's 28 or 29. So, yeah. For him to retire so early was a bit of a shock, but I think his body's let him down.
I'll just quickly add to that as well. Devin Smith won Essendon's Best and Fairest in 2018 and also led the tackles that year too. Mm.
Yeah, he's pulled the pin too.
Yeah.
I'm sure our fellow coast host here in Chris Brown, he would be disappointed to see his mate Devin go. So any other Blues news, Jesse, at all?
I've got a bit of other AFL news if you want.
Yeah,
obviously,
mate,
there's been a bit of trade speculation at the moment. Brody Grundy meeting with Melbourne and Max Gawn sounds very interesting. I'm not too sure about that. Like, obviously, them going out and looking at Grundy means Jackson's sold. He's gone. He's on his way.
That's the major worry.
Yeah, so
if that's circulating, and then, you know, with the whole talk about Luke Jackson for the past 3 months and where he's going to land. Yeah, it sort of makes for tricky waters. It would be nice if he stays at Melbourne because they're in the window for whatever how long they are. So, yeah, it's tough. But, you know, he's won a premiership. You know, he's decided, well, okay, I've achieved everything I want. I've learned from arguably the best ruckman in the competition, Max Gawn, a great plethora of midfielders I've had at my disposal. You know, Petrarca, Brayshaw, Viney, Oliver can rat off their list of names. But with Fremantle too, they've already got that nucleus. So I think for him, it's a win-win, and we'll just see, you know, what happens from there come, you know, October, November.
I think Geelong will be praying that Jackson goes to Melbourne, goes to Fremantle too, because then Geelong can really have a crack at Sean Darcy, who's a local boy from Geelong. Josh Dunkley, again, up in the news for trade speculation. He could be now going to Brisbane, apparently, so Brisbane have entered the race for him. Along with Isaac Rankin, looks like he's going to move back home to South Australia and leave the Gold Coast, which I think I would stay up there.
I think they look all right at the Gold Coast.
It's hard because you could also, I don't think Adelaide are that far away either.
Yeah.
But look, obviously, again, with these guys, it's the go home factor.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? It's just,
it plays a big part, doesn't it, that go home factor?
It does. But then again, I think some of them play on it a little bit as well.
Yeah, well, you look at our club, like how we've been able to retain players from over east, like from over in different states. Obviously, I think we've done really well with our West Australian boys, obviously our South Australian boys too, so it's good, I think. But moving on, the Barramundi, he plays his last derby tonight. Yeah. So a bit of West Australian news, and he's been a great...
absolute legend.
He's a legend, Barramundi, David Mundy. So farewell to him in his last derby. Obviously, he probably has got the finals to go ahead with and stuff. But I think there's going to be, I've heard there might be at the 16th minute mark of the first quarter, an applause or an ovation. I know my friend Shredder, I'll give him a quick shout out. He's definitely going to be trying to ramp that up. So get behind it. Get behind it, definitely.
Yeah, look, it'd be interesting. It could be his last game here in Perth.
Yeah.
Depending where they finish and finals goes. But and another interesting thing for me too is also to see what compensation the AFL are going to give us. Because they've now said that we are going to get compensation for Liam Jones.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see where they're at and roughly what we're going to get for him.
Yeah, I think it'd be like a late third round or something like that.
Yeah.
A throwaway sort of pick. But and then last of all, a bit of team news as well for our game. So Melbourne have just named James Hart as the medi sub at the moment. Liam Stocker comes in with Mark Pitternet. Paddy Dow admitted, Tom DeConning and Will Setterfield admitted. What are you guys' thoughts on the team changes?
I think Stockers is a really good inclusion. And I just want to add one more thing. And Saw been harping on it, you know, about Liam Stocker. They need to throw him in the midfield. That's why he was drafted for, that big-bodied midfielder. He stands at 6'5", but they need him tonight because our midfield has been ravaged by injuries now. We're not going to get George Hewitt back, which is way too unfortunate. Mm. And this is a great time and a great test against arguably the best midfield in the competition, Melbourne, tonight.
Yeah, I think Liam Stocker into the midfield is a good idea. I've heard people say, oh, Brody Kemp played a few games like in his juniors or whatever, but I think if you were going to go, mate, that's now it's his opportunity. I think Paddy Dow's on the outer. Everyone loves Paddy Dow, but he just gets his opportunity, doesn't take it. It's really unfortunate, but it's just doesn't seem to grab it.
Just last week for me was his last chance, and I just don't think he's been dropped this week.
Yeah.
So,
Tom DeConning admitted.
Hey?
Tom DeConning admitted. I guess he wasn't that great last week.
I think he needs a rest too, and I just think Pitternet's better suited to go up against Gawn.
Yeah.
So, okay. Do you want to just give us a quick review of tonight's game then, Jesse?
Well, yeah.
Because we're not going to preview last week, so we've decided to do a
review. Last week.
Yeah.
We weren't going to review last week's because...
We've changed up a bit. We're going to be positive today. We're going to have a good preview of tonight's game. So go ahead.
If you haven't got anything nice to say, don't say it at all. Because we were outplayed all day last week against Brisbane. Obviously, bad kicking is bad footy, and that was kind of the story of the night. Leading into Melbourne tonight, I just want to see us be able to transition the ball a little bit better from defence to offence, have that dare to take the game on. I think with the last few weeks against Adelaide and obviously against Brisbane, we've consistently gone down the line. And then by that, we've tried to back in the fact that we've been a good ground ball sort of team, and we're losing the ground ball, so it's not working going down the line. we're just playing too slow out of the back line, you know? Yeah. And it takes the players, yes, you got to have that dare to take the kick on, but you've also, the players up the ground need to be working for you, and they really need to be sort of sacrificing their own role to peel off, to lead, to open up that space, to then be able to play that sort of 35, 40-metre kick. And we're not splitting the game open. No, no. You guys probably would have said in that last quarter, like, the game was done. It was just junk goals. But when they actually played with a bit of precision with the way they went about it, they actually looked good.
Yeah. Absolutely spot on, yes. And I think just one more to add on that as well. I think tonight, as you mentioned, Jesse, we can't go slow because that just fits into Melbourne's hands perfectly with May and Lever floating down back and Petty too as their third man up. So we can't really afford to do that and try and isolate those one-on-one situations, hopefully, to not allow, you know, the Demons to easily, you know, rebound from their defensive 50.
I think you make a great point about the isolating the forwards and getting one-on-ones. At the moment, it just looks like Charlie and Harry are running into each other. They're leading into each other. Harry's crossing his hands over when he's trying to mark the ball. I don't know how you could mark a ball with your hands crossed. It's impossible. But, yeah, they need to get some separation, get isolated, get quick supply, because if you get quick supply into the forward line, you're going to give your best chance of getting scores on the board.
Absolutely.
I think our wingers as well, they're just getting too sucked in. They need to hold their whips on the wings a bit more, be our outlet. I think, in a sense, you saw that one of those first players last week, Will Setterfield, got it out from Doc from that kick, and he ran all the way down the field, should have kicked the goal or should have gone in straight.
But then opted to go into the pocket.
And I think this has been a big issue, especially with our key forwards, is their leading patterns. It's very hard to kick goals from the boundary line. I played forward all my life, and it was very difficult. Yeah. I think they need to just get a little bit more sorted and organised down there.
Well, hope it goes all right. Okay, it's time now to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors. When we return, we cross to young up-and-coming AFLW star Annie Lee. Go Blues.
Go the Blues.
Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the mighty Blues. Here, we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, but most importantly, watching the mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues.
Hey Blue Baggers, Patrick Cripps and Darcy Vessio here from the Carlton Football Club.
Are you in the market for a new car?
Carlton's co-major partner Hyundai offers Blues members up to $1,000 cash back on any new Hyundai vehicle purchase.
For over 25 years, Hyundai has driven our club forward as a co-major partner, supporting us as players as well as you, our members.
From the Kona to the Palisade, there's a Hyundai vehicle to suit every Blue Bagger.
The Carlton cashback offer is available across all Hyundai dealerships in WA, so let us and Hyundai steer you in the right direction.
Terms and conditions apply. Head to www.carltonfc.com.au/Hyundai to find out more.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. Tech Tiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor. With over 20 years of experience, let Blair Buckingham, your master framer, help make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you are looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. Our display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2022 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers Cannington, come see us today.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Well, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sports FM Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues and represented today by myself, Jesse and Yuri. It's now time to cross live to young AFLW star Annie Lee. Good morning, Annie. How are you? And welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Hey, guys. I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah, look, we're doing very good over here. Annie, just before I let the panel ask you a few questions, can you tell the listeners about your journey and how you got to the Blues?
Yeah. So I started kicking the football with my dad just around the ages of maybe 9 or 10, and was actually quite lucky that a girls' team was starting up down in Geelong. So I was able to start down there, down at Newtown Chilwell, played a good maybe 2 years down there in the under 12, crossed over to Geelong Amateurs where I was able to win a few premierships and got picked up by the Geelong Falcons. And from there, was able to play there for about 4 years. So that really helped me set up, I guess, getting involved in the next level of footy. And then from there, getting picked up in the draft was last year in the 2021 draft, got picked up at number 10 to the Carlton Blues. So I'm going into my second season this year.
Yeah, that's good. Look, my very first question, Annie, was that, you got picked up in the 2021 draft with pick 10. Growing up as a Carlton supporter, and I know how passionate your old man is, what was the feeling like actually when your name got called out as being picked up as a Carlton player?
Yeah, it was very surreal. I think the only way to describe it, I guess, was like a whole body experience, I feel. It was very just lots of emotions happening in that room. Obviously, we're all big baggers here down in Geelong, so... Yep. And I think because I was honestly quite shocked in a way. Obviously, like I had a few other clubs interested, but I think to hear my name get called out for the Blues was just a crazy experience. And I wish I could, always go through it every day, really. But it was really good.
I actually noticed. I seen the video of you, and I noticed that there was a cutout, cardboard cutout of Cripper in the background. And I've had a few discussions with your old man about that. So it must have been good having Cripper there with you when you got drafted.
Well, it's always good to have that support from the cardboard cutout. So, it was quite funny.
Morning, Annie. How's the pre-season been so far? And have you been leaning on anyone at the club for a bit of advice leading into your second pre-season?
Pre-season's going really, really strong. Obviously, we had that little break between seasons and, it feels like we only really just finished our previous season. So, which I think it's positive starting back quite quickly. So we've all been training the house down really, and I feel like our team's going really strong and we're all, pumped for the season ahead. I think for me, I'm probably leaning on I'd say Mimi Hill, just learning from her. Obviously, she had a really good second season, so just kind of asking her and leaning on her and how she, goes about her season, I guess. And then I suppose always going on the more experienced players, maybe in the back line, so Kez and Moore and Gab Pound as well, gaining that knowledge from them is always something that can really help me with my game.
Morning, Annie. You talked about last year's draft when you were picked up by the Blues 10th overall. There were multiple teams inside the top 10 that had multiple draft picks, West Coast, Richmond, Geelong, St Kilda, Gold Coast. What are the conversations you had with them in the lead up to the draft and sort of the process that they went through with you?
So basically the process before the draft was basically just heaps of interviews. While there was the whole Vic Country, Vic Metro teams, we had a stage before our games where there would be like this 10-minute slot for the teams that maybe want to interview. So you've got 10 minutes to talk to the team that usually have like their coach or their, scouting manager. And that'll just be them kind of asking you questions, getting to know you. And then outside of that, if the teams want to follow up on that interview or that meeting, then usually they would just send like a Zoom link. It would just be that sort of process. They're just heaps of interviews. It's obviously because they know how you play. So they know what your game is like, but the interviews are more to get to know who you are as a person. So basically just consisted of interviews, and obviously they can't give away too much because nothing's really set in stone. It's all just dependent on the day, really.
Yeah, was there a particular team out of those Gold Coast, St Kilda, West Coast, Geelong and Carlton, of course, that you sort of had a strong inkling that they were going to draft you, or was it a little bit too early to tell?
I feel like it's always a bit early to tell. I think obviously me being living in Geelong, I think there was always going to be that conversation where, well, you know, Geelong have three picks inside the top 10, that, you know, my name or, you know, any of the other girls' names in Geelong Falcons could get picked up pretty quickly, as that's sort of the easy option because I live in Geelong. So I think there was always that thought of me going there. But I think that was also what added to the shock of my name getting called out for the Blues, was because I wasn't actually picked up by Geelong. So, yeah.
But I bet you were glad when they called your name out there, Annie.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Look,
it was great.
Yeah. Look, you made your debut in round one in 2022, which was played at Icon Park. Explain to us the feeling, what it was like for your first game running out wearing the old dark navy blue.
Yeah. Once again, that was another surreal moment. I think it was obviously such a big build-up for me. In my first pre-season, I kind of came in with obviously no experience in, I guess, the senior side of football. I guess I've always played all my games has been under 18. So I think in my first pre-season, there was so much to learn and so much to gain from a fitness perspective as well. So I think coming in towards the game and, you know, getting told by half that I was playing in round one and debuting in round one was, yeah, just crazy. And I think running out, I think the one thing that I guess remember the most would probably be when the first goal was kicked. So it was within like 2 minutes of the first quarter. Lucy McAvoy, I think she kicked it off the ground or got a ground ball and kicked the goal, and the crowd there just went berserk. And it was just, I felt like the ground was shaking. Which probably was just me, you know, debuting, and I'm just, you know, got a million thoughts in my head, but yeah, it was such a cool experience, and yeah, very grateful to be able to debut on round one.
Look, I can remember going there as a kid and taking my son to back then Princes Park, just the actual the crowd and just the noise. I just wish we could get more going. And you're lucky enough to play there constantly, but it's just a great ground to play at when Carlton are up and about and the fans are out yelling and screaming.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it's really good that we were able to play there at Icon. It's a really good ground and, yeah, beautiful conditions, I think.
Annie, obviously with the full league now in the AFLW, do you believe the comp will be a lot more even this year? And how do you reckon it will progress through the season, having that full 18 clubs in the league?
Yeah, I think it's great that we've got full 18 teams in. I think it just means, I think it just shows that AFLW is, I guess, growing every year. So, yeah, it's great to have those 18 teams, and it'll be interesting. You know, you don't know how the new teams will go, and obviously we've had quite an interesting sign and trade period as well for every team. You know, every team's lost players, every team's gained players. So it'll be interesting to see how the new teams go. And I think we're playing, obviously, Essendon in round two, and I think that'll be quite a fierce game as well.
I think that'll get pretty heated.
Yeah, I think so too.
Good. It's good, though.
No, it is. It's good.
Andy, just another question on, you know, but you being drafted by Carlton with the 10th pick overall, and you're drafted because of your ball, your skills of halfback and your excellent reading of the play. Do you see a little bit later on, maybe sometime this season or the season after, being, you know, make your transition into the midfield?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too sure, really. I haven't really, I guess, supposedly had that conversation with half. I played midfield back in local league, and I think once I played local and then was brought into Geelong Falcons, the coach thought that I was, I don't know, fitted down in defence, and clearly I have. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe that's a possibility. I'm not too sure.
Look, obviously we all know this year that the Carlton, the AFL girls they've been forced to make so many big changes to the list due to all the expansion clubs coming in. How have you seen training, pre-season training so far? And is there someone there during pre-season that you could say, oh, this, you know, keep an eye on this girl. She's going to really come through this year.
Yeah. Yep. I think for me, I reckon who I've noticed that's been, I suppose, putting in the work and during training is always really intense. Like, she really just goes at the ball, I guess trains how she plays. So I think someone to look out for would definitely be Keely Scherer. Uh-huh. Obviously, coming into her second year, she won got a nomination for the Rising Star last year. So she's been, putting in the work in the pre-season, and she's killing it out on the track. So I'd keep an eye out on her. And then I think for someone that's just come into our club, Phoebe McWilliams, she's obviously an experienced player, so that'll add to our forward line. And I'll have to play on her during match sim or during training drills. And she's very hard to play on, so I'd keep an eye out for those two.
Following on sort of from what Craig just mentioned as well, with training, and obviously there has been a lot of personnel sort of change over the off season. What's been the message from half, obviously trying to, you know, get everyone back on the same page and working towards a common goal?
Yeah, I think, obviously, I guess losing a few players, we also were able to gain players as well. So I think the message from half was to this just creates another opportunity for someone else. So it just creates opportunities for someone else to come into the team and I guess get that more experience under their belt. And it's just, I'd just say it's a new opportunity for us to, I guess, try new things. So we've been trying new game plans this year, and it'll be interesting. Obviously, we can try it out today against our practice match against Melbourne. So I think he's just, basically saying it's a new year, new team. So just go at it, and we'll see how we go.
Annie, just about, this upcoming season, right, and how the Blues managed to finish really well last season but didn't make finals. What do you see sort of the differences with the team this season heading into, this upcoming campaign, which starts later this month against Collingwood?
Yeah, I think with the team is that they obviously, I guess, saw the potential in them. So in the last, couple of games, I felt like we pushed ourselves and really fought every game. And obviously that proved as we were able to gain a couple wins. So I think they're just, transitioning that from, the end of the season and bringing it into this season. They're really focusing on, that's what we can do, but we can improve on that. And, hopefully we can just bring that forward.
Now, look, Annie, we've come to hear things about you that you're a very, very quiet, respected young lady, but I have it on the grapevine that maybe as a young kid your temper wasn't the best. I think there was an incident in Scotland where your mum and dad had to call your sister, and I think there was another incident where your mum and dad had to go hide in the bathroom. Is that correct? Is this true?
I think my childhood tantrum seems to be a regular occurrence being brought up in conversation.
Well, I won't tell you who brought it up, but yeah.
I think it's probably just my Scottish blood, to be honest. The fact that I'm, Laurie's daughter doesn't help, so
well,
I probably get my him.
It's funny you say that, because I was talking to young Jesse before the interview, and I said, your old man used to chase me through Crawley Street. I was shit scared to drive.
Throw rocks.
Yeah, I was scared to walk through Crawley Street because your dad had chased me. So it must come from your dad, I'd say. 100% from your dad. But look, Annie, we'll let you go. Look, on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, we thank you for sharing your time, your precious time with us today. Look, let's hope the girls put up a good fight today, and your season goes well. And look, we're really honoured to have you on board as our sponsored player.
Yeah, absolutely.
So look, we really appreciate your time, Annie, today. Go out there, smash it, and look, as we say on this show, go Blues.
Go the Blues.
Go the Blues.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Annie. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome interview.
She spoke really well.
Yeah, really good.
I am
awesome.
Going to be 100%. I was not 100% sure, because when I spoke to her on the phone, she seemed really nervous, but I think she handled herself very well, and she spoke really well.
I think we've chosen a perler there for our WA sponsor as well.
I can vouch that whole family, they are so one-eyed, Carl.
Yeah, love
like,
it.
Her dad is just so passionate. Like,
I love it. That's what we need, but we want passionate Carlton people in and around Carlton.
He's just as bad as Brownie and I. So. But look, time once again to go for a break with a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we throw an Erin elbow straight into the regular segment, the Shirt Front, live with one of the one and only David the Hyphen Reece Jones, as we review the game against the Lions and the preview that the upcoming game against the Demons. And I'm interested to see what he says about Cripper. So go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here, we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues! If it's your first home, or if it's time to renovate, refinance or invest, ICU Finance Group is here to help make it happen in residential and commercial finance. Alton D'Souza, the sole director, is someone who shops around for the best loan features that are suitable to your individual circumstances. He will manage the process from start to finish. For every loan, Alton will donate $500 to Carlton Respects. Call Alton D'Souza now on 0407 998 768, ACL 441 658. We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialist in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark, engrave, print, identify, Charles Street, North Perth.
When you want the highest quality meat with friendly service and value for money, only one name should come to mind. Barbaro Butchers. It's a name renowned in WA and across Australia since 1987. Their high standards, premium products and impeccable service is what sets Barbaro Butchers ahead of the rest. Delivering the highest quality cuts of beef, pork, lamb and chicken, they can even provide catering packages to suit your needs. Drop in and see Raff and the team at 120 Cockman Road in Greenwood or call 9247 4244. Barbaro Butchers, proud supporter of Breakfast with the Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's now time for a very warm welcome to our great mate here at Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero. The man personifies everything that Bleeding Blue means as we barrel straight into the Shirt Front with David Reece-Jones. Good morning, Reece. How are you this morning?
Yeah, no, very good, very good. Had a wonderful function during the week. I think there was about 1,100 people turned up at our Spirit of Carlton function, and it was a ripper function. I can safely say that Mel and Chris were well behaved when I last saw them. So I don't know what happened after that.
Mate, as I said to you on the phone, I know Chris Brownie too well, and I know that Alton D'Souza as well, and I know Mel. I'm sure they would have kicked on somewhere. But I was just a bit disappointed I couldn't go over, but unfortunately I didn't have enough holidays, so I'm spewing.
It was a ripper function, great function, yeah, and everyone, you know, the feedback from it's been fantastic, so, yeah, it's all good.
So are you travelling about anywhere this weekend, Reece, or is it a weekend at home?
Actually, off to Tassie tomorrow. I'm flying down and back in the same day, though, so.
Mate, you know,
up early and get down there and back, so, yeah, go down there, help the Huonville Football Club this time.
Mate, you'll be on frequent fly points down there.
Yeah, I'm not paying for the flight, so I don't know where.
Be almost your second home at the moment.
Yeah, it has been. I think I've been down there three times in the last month. So it's a good place, Tassie. I spent 3 years coaching down there, so it's fantastic. Yeah.
Look, just before a few of the other boys ask a few questions, I've got to bring this up. The how did you think the Cripper situation was handled?
Well, in the end, it was a just result. I mean, I think even at the time, and when they slowed it down, and Lee Matthews was commentating, he called it an incidental contact, and that's just part of football. And you know, I think we need people who understand football a lot better than Michael Christian should know better anyway. but you know, they just jump at anything that happens these days, and it's a bit disappointing because they're trying to take the passion out of the game. You're not allowed to dispute the decision, even if it's blatantly wrong, and they're trying to take the physicality out of the game, which is ridiculous. I mean, it's what we love about our game and what makes it different to other sports.
Yeah, morning, Hyfe. I think with the Cripps thing as well, I've heard some comments, and we talked about it earlier, about like the way he should have gone about it, and the way the AFL was sort of saying was that he basically should have tackled him mid-air in a sense. And I just think that's just opening up for a terrible, terrible injury. I think that was really badly worded by the AFL, and now obviously the decision's come to the forefront where Cripps is being let off. But I think they've just, the way they've worded it, they've really opened themselves up to potentially a catastrophic injury.
Well, you know, and that's always been the case. So, I mean, you know, back in our day, the bloke who was coming in was trying to kill you, sort of thing. I mean, he was going for you 100 miles an hour. These days, they don't. And you can see two players going at the ball. What I don't want to see in our game is two players being hesitant at going for the ball.
Absolutely.
And that is going to bring, you know, I mean, and look, if someone does hold back one day, I mean, it's almost saying, I'm going to let you get the ball and then I'm going to tackle you as soon as you get it. And that's happening a lot now anyway. I think Collingwood are the masters at it at the moment. They've got some blokes who are going in and tackling pretty hard, so pretty solid tackling. So, yeah, look, there's been a lot of whinging and moaning about it, but let's just get on with it. And yep. I think it was the right result, and obviously, and yeah, justice prevails in the end.
Yeah.
Morning, Hyfe. Just about last Sunday's game, we won't go over it too much, but there were some really sort of glaring sort of parts of play that I think hopefully we won't be too concerned about, but we can't afford to make those tonight against Melbourne. It was some of those, you know, terrible, you know, turnovers in our back 50 and in the middle part of the ground, which really hurt us, and Brisbane really sort of, you know, made us pay at that end of the ground. How are we sort of, you know, going have to, you know, quell down on those kicking errors tonight against Melbourne, who do it so well, hurting you from, you know, turnovers?
Well, there'd be a couple of blokes I'd be stating them if I was Michael Voss. I mean, you're continually doing this week after week, and we're not going to put up with it. So, you know, they just need to make better decisions, and it seems to be a few of the same blokes. Although, you know, Saad, you know, he butchered one last week. It becomes a bit infectious, really, you know, when you make mistakes and that. And we just didn't look like we're on our game at all. We were passengers early in the game, and I think Brisbane just took full advantage of it. And it wasn't really till that Cripps incident that we fired up a bit. And the thing I liked at the end was Michael Voss standing down on the boundary line, because I think that also, you know, sort of regenerated us. Although we hadn't spent any pennies early, I suppose we deserved to, you know, be able to come back a bit, because we hadn't done too much before that. But, yeah, it was a disappointing game again, and the last two have been. But, you know, the chances are there. And you know, St Kilda did us another favour last night. And it looks like, to be perfectly honest, if the Bulldogs get beaten by GWS today, that
we can't go
just
out.
Fall in. Yeah, we could fall in anyway. You know, it'll come down to percentage, even if we did lose the last two games. So, yeah, we could still fall in if we did get beaten in the last two games.
Hi-Fi, I look at like the last 2 weeks, and I go straight to the leaders in defence and look at Doherty and so obviously Saad as well, and Wiedering, and maybe Saad aside, but Wiedering and Doherty, they're just at the moment there's no dare with their kicking. They're very slow. They're taking time, and then they're making critical errors with their turnovers. How do you get the message out to those sort of leaders to say, look, you're the one setting the standard. We need to get this ball moving down and get transition happening quick down to our offense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that has been the real key to us this year. When you've got guys like Kurnaar Mackay down there, get the ball in quick to him. You know, move the ball. And what happens, though, you know, a couple of mistakes were made and cost us goals. And you know, it's a human reaction to go into that negative type of, you know, let's slow it down, let's just be a bit more cautious. But it doesn't help your ability to win the game. You know, you've really got to get that ball down to them. And you know, we've seen, you know, right through the, you know, early part of the year especially, that they'll do the job, you know. They'll get the job done if we can get it down there quickly enough to them. But there's a bit of rain forecast today too, so that could be interesting. It's nice and sunny here at the moment, but I think at about 1 o'clock we've got a thunderstorm or something coming through, so that could make life interesting too for the game.
Maybe that's a reason, the reasoning behind him dropping De Koning and bringing in Pitanet. I just think that maybe Pitanet's better suited against Max Goyne. That he's yep. You know, he can match him physically in basically in the centre and around the grounds, but it must have been a tough decision to make.
Yeah, it is, and you know, he's a good young kid. He looks like he's he basically needs a run in the twos to go, you know, get a bit of confidence and so forth. But yeah, look, he'll be back in the team too when it suits us. I agree with you. I just I think Max Vaughan would shove him around and we saw earlier this year in the practice match that Pitnett really did compete well against Max Vaughan and it didn't give him that advantage in the middle. So yeah, exciting to have him back, and I'm glad to see Stocker's in there too. I just keep wanting to see more young kids in there, and I'd like to see Carroll play the next week or two as well. And yeah, we've got to start putting some kids in there and the guys who have been in and out of the team for, you know, the last 2 or 3 years, and we see Dow and Setterfield out again. You know, just leave them out and play some kids, I think.
Do you think it's now time for the opportunity for Stocker to get to go into that midfield? We've been throwing it up, debating about it earlier on today on the show, but it seems like he was drafted to be a midfielder. Now it sort of seems like that opportunity for him to take it and just see what it's like. Do you think it's worth throwing him in the guts for tonight?
Oh, hopefully he's got the fitness base to be able to do that. Absolutely. And I think that's been the one thing. He hasn't had a real good run with games, you know, a lot of injuries in between sort of thing. And he's a little bit light on too. You know, well, I think when he did that bump about 6 weeks ago and hurt his shoulder sort of thing, and, you know, he just needs to strengthen up a little bit over the pre-season as well. But I like the way he goes about it. He runs straight and hard. He's, you know, he's not scared. So I like the way he goes about it. But he just looks a little bit light on at the moment, and I'm not too sure about his fit space either. You know, don't want to see him getting injured again and missing more weeks.
Hi, you mentioned about the rain. That's going to come in a little bit later this afternoon in Melbourne. Hopefully it won't be like what happened, I think, about 12 years ago. There was a game between Carlton and Melbourne at the MCG on a Saturday afternoon, and it started bucketing by the second half. So we'll see what happens on that front. But with Adam Saad and how teams over the last 2 weeks, especially Adelaide, have applied a defensive half forward, and it's not really been the defensive half forward that has really sort of sprung to light in the way that the Crows have used, but Ben Keyes did a really good job on him. How sort of the last, you know, couple of weeks teams have sort of been able to zone on Saad, and, you know, his speed and dash and his metres gained off half back, how can Carlton sort of utilise him a bit more effectively tonight as well to sort of combat what Melbourne might do?
Yeah, look, you know, and I was actually with Christian Petrarca at a function yesterday, and he was saying that they don't tag. So, you know, I mean, the question is brought up about Cripps sort of thing, that they don't tag, but I'd be very surprised if they didn't have someone on Saad in that negating type of role, because he is so damaging when he's allowed to run and create things. So he'll get his time to get off the leash, though, and you know, playing on the back line sort of suits him, and his closing speed's great with his opponents. So yeah, but we definitely need Saad and Doherty out of that half back line being positive and running the ball through, because that's what really sets us up.
Mate, surely when you walked past Petrarca yesterday, you could have sort of given him one of your good elbows. Hey? Just accidentally in the ribs or something?
Yeah, being a fellow Norm Smith medalist, I couldn't really do
so. Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that. Yeah. Obviously, it's been a pretty disappointing month of football for Harry Mackay at the moment. He just seems to, you know, his hands are sort of crossing over each other. It seems really weird. He's not really leading. When he's leading up the field, he sort of has that intent where he goes hard. Just in the forward line on his leads, he's just either he's playing for those free kicks or he's just not got enough purpose with his leads, I feel.
Yeah, and you look at it and there's normally two and three against him, and that means we're bringing the ball in too slowly. Yeah. You know, the back situations, which is very hard to mark in these days. But, he needs to, make a stand, I think. And Charlie as well. They've been over the last few weeks. They've been right down on their form and their ability, and they need to shine. You know, we need them to be taking the marks, kicking the goals, and you know, setting us alight, because the other players feed off that. And you need key forwards up and going. And back in our day, we're lucky enough to have Stix Kernahan. You know, he never had a bad game, sort of thing. So. That's how these guys have got to. They're going to get to that stage. Let's hope they can.
Yeah, look, I think our midfield's going to have to really step up tonight, because I thought they got absolutely smashed last week from Brisbane, and Melbourne has a very good midfield as well. So if they're not on their game today, Melbourne could just go bang 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 and blow us away early again.
Yeah, I think Adam Chera is going to be the key. You know, he owes us at the moment. He's been, it's funny, since George Hewitt's been out of the team, he's really struggled, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And looked sort of not quite with it. And I think he was feeding heavily off Hewitt, who does a lot of that inside bulk work, and Chera's a bit more of an outside player. So I think he's really missing George Hewitt at the moment. But he needs to step up today. And, when you're playing against the best, you've got Oliver, Petrarca, Viney, all of them in great form. And it's amazing. I mean, the good Melbourne players are in terrific form at the moment. Yeah. Gawn's been fantastic. Petrarca, Viney, Oliver, their stats are out of this world at the moment. The back line seems to be holding up okay, but they're getting beaten. So there's some, they'll have... a few little things, going in the mind. You know, the mind can play tricks on you, especially when you think you're going okay, but you're just not winning games. So, we just need to attack it early. We need to attack them early, and get on top and grind them. And hopefully, we're good enough to do it.
Yeah, look, we hope we do. But look, we have to wrap it up there, Dave. But as always, look, mate, from us here in WA, look, we just again thank you so much for giving up your time. Anything that we ask you to do, you do. So it's fantastic for us, mate. I hope you.
Great to be on board,
mate. I hope you have a great day down in Tassie today, and I hope the weather is okay and it's not too cold for you.
No, that's tomorrow morning, so I've never checked the weather for tomorrow, but we've got a thunderstorm coming in today, and let's hope it clears up before the game starts, because I'd like to see it being a good track to get out there and show how good we are.
Yep. Fantastic. And look, as we say, Dave, on the show always, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues. Blues. No, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Dave. Right. Thanks very much. Again, he just...
Always good.
Always good. It's, you ask a question, you're going to get what he thinks. Yeah. He's not one of these guys that...
No, short answers. Like he explains it so well, like in depth too. Yeah, and that's where you can gain a bit more information. So, yeah, it's always great to have...
It's always good when you've got an incident like Cripper... during the week, and you're going to sit down and have a chat with Hyfe on a Saturday morning.
Especially having to do with the tribunal umpires. Yes. You're going to get a red hot spot. Look, just want to cover up on a few things. Look, we got no function today. But look, we definitely have got a function next week, round 23, Carlton versus Collingwood on next Sunday. The bounce down is at 1:20. We're at the back bar of the Carlisle. Now, we had a function there last week, and it was fantastic. Yep. It's the back room is brilliant. It's a free event. There's a distillery there. It's a 12:30 start. Members, don't forget to bring your 2022 membership card in order to be in the members raffle. The raffle item will update more on next Saturday show. Look, there's $7 pints, $10 kids meals. The food's great. It's the gin. Apparently, Mel loves the gin. It's very good. But, Bigot, we also have pretty much locked in a special guest appearance by a Carlton legend.
Ooh.
Now, we will reveal this, I think, next Saturday.
Yep.
I won't steal Mr. Brownie's thunder because the little fella might fire up at me. So, look, everyone, next Sunday, look, it's our last game, last home and away game. Let's get there. Have a great function. It's against the old enemy. Hopefully we get over the line today and confidence builds and gets into next week. But yeah, look, so let's get there. As I said, the game starts at 1:20. We're going to have the function up and going by 12:30. So everyone come. It should be a great day.
Could be playing finals by 2:35 this afternoon.
Never know.
Leading into
fingers crossed.
Let's hope.
Again, look, a special thank you to Yuri.
Thank you, Jesse. Really great to come back on and just, you know, chat Carlton, because I was talking to Mel about this 2 months ago, filling in, and we haven't felt, as long-time Blues supporters, this way. You know, like, when was the last time we were fighting for a top eight spot? May 2013, yes, Essendon got relegated, etc., etc., etc. But 2011, arguably out of all those years since, well, my time, your time.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, it was that year where we sure made the prelim. Yeah. I know we can't half back on it. So,
Andrew Walker got pushed in the goal score.
Should have been. But, yeah, look, again, thank you, Yuri. Yuri's pushed the buttons for me, so I didn't muck it up. look, just to Chris, Alton and Mel, I hope you had a great time.
Have a great
time. And as we say on this show, guys, go Blues.
Go Blues. Enjoy the game tonight, guys.
Yeah, cheers. And they will know that they've been playing against the famous
Old Dog Blues. Every Sunday, why not join me?